Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Come on, stand up and let's worship. Father, we worship you. We give you our very best. We give you our very best. Father, we extol you. We pronounce you, God, before the world today. We glorify you in all things in Jesus' name. I want everybody to repeat after me. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that? I actually believe you all do because y'all are here. When Dave Murray said you shouldn't be here, y'all are here. If God is for us, who can be against us? I love this. I'm actually surrounded by people of faith. I mean that. I'm not joking in any way. I'm not just throwing. I got so excited when I saw some of you this morning. I kissed you. Asked Pastor Harvey. Kissed him right on his cheek. Said to greet each other with a holy kiss. I kissed Mitzi today. The puppy. I kissed Earl. Then I kissed the puppy. First dog I've ever given a holy kiss to. You may be seated. Go ahead and have a seat. Are you ready to get into the Word? I am too. First of all, let's bring some lights, a little more lights. I'm going to teach here in just a second. I got to have some light. There you go. Just so a little more theater lighting, not because so I can be brighter, because my words need to be brighter. Everybody got your bulletins, right? Okay, I want everybody to turn in your bulletins to page 4. We are launching into what will be a 13-week series. That's going to take more than 13 weeks to get there because things are happening in between. But it's over a 13-week series. It's going to take several weeks more. But we're launching into the core value series of who we are at St. Charles River Church. I went by Restoration Church. I know Lindy very well. In fact, Lindy's going to Panama. Restoration Church over in St. Peter's is going to Panama this year. I'm hosting them in Panama this year. And so, but they had on their marquee. I love when churches put awesome things on marquees. I mean, relevant things. And it was talking about a fresh start, getting a fresh start this year. Come this Sunday, get a fresh start. It was just this invitation to the community. Now, we know that marquees are cold calls, right? The warm call is when you know somebody you fairly well and you say, hey, come on, you know. But the hot calls are when you know people well and you say, hey, sit next to me this church, this Sunday in our church. I just want you to be there. Get a fresh start this year. And so that's kind of what we're talking about this week. We're going to start with a fresh start of who we are at St. Charles River Church. What do we really value here at SCRC? If you've gone through the 101, which is the membership class, it's not so that you can become a voting member. It's really so that you'll know who we are and get connected here at SCRC. It is really true. Pastor Mike Bowie was talking about this morning, connecting with people. Pastor Mike was talking about connecting with people. We want to make sure that we're bringing this Jesus out there. That's our vision statement, bringing Jesus to people. That's what we're about. When I was in, just give you a real quick little bit of history. When I was, Gina and I were launching St. Charles River Church before we ever had a service. We were actually declared in existence on July 26th. Of 2000. And that was a few months before we ever had our first service. But I got the call from our district superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Ron Garner. Some of you know Ron, precious brother, he and his bride, Georgia. And he said, I was at the other church in my office, senior associate pastor, and I got the call. You are now the pastor of St. Charles River Church. You may resign. Are you serious? It was like, what do I do with that? You know, I called Jean. I said, what do I do? She said, I don't know. We'll figure it out. You know, I do. I remember I called Gina from my office. Gina's over there. I don't remember that. I remember a lot of things Gina doesn't remember because it's a traumatic moment. And so we began the journey of what does St. Charles River Church really look like? Because we were then launched officially. What does this look like? So I ended up in Colorado Springs, Pikes Peak. What is that? Colorado Springs, there for a church plant boot camp. And about 90 of us went in. And I'm not joking when I say this. About 90 went in and about 45 or 50 total came out, graduated. Because the rest left. They were in tears, many of them. They realized they were not church planters at the time. They just realized, this isn't who I am. They heard how rough church planting could be. And am I right, Pastor Harvey? They learned. Did you know that at the time, back in 2000, 80% of church plants that launch will fail within 5 years in America? 80% will fail within 5 years in the United States. Now, I don't know about worldwide, but that was the statistic that was national. And it was Rick Warren who was in cooperation with Barna. Barna does a lot of surveys, and if you're not familiar with George Barna, and that was a national figure. That wasn't my figure. 80% will fail within 5 years. And that was part of what we were hearing. Get ready for an adventuresome ride. It's going to be adventuresome. And you're going to cry a lot. But in that boot camp, God gave to me these core values and these mission or vision statements. Those are statements that He actually gave to me there. And the first one was this. And that first day, the one thing I realized was it had to be launched based on the simple fact, if nothing else, that Christ is the head. If we don't start there, on page 4, you will see those core values that God gave to me there in prayer, and Gina as well. When I came back, we refined them, we looked at them, we purposefully had different orders. And the one thing I knew is, if Christ as the head didn't start it, I already had the wrong priorities and core values. Nothing else mattered if Christ wasn't the head. Do you all agree with that? So that's where we start. The fact that Christ is the head. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. You see it there marked in. And we're just going to go through some very basic things this morning. But let me just go ahead and read the scripture to you. And it'll be Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll start with verse. I'm going to start actually with verse. Let me start with verse, where is that? 20. No, let me back up a little bit more because that's the middle of a sentence. Let me start with verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. This is Paul, by the way, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus. I shared some things with you last week, nearing the end of his ministry, which meant the end of his life. It says, remembering you in my prayers, verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And is incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the wielding. He has power. Everybody recognize what Paul says is He has power. But he's about to establish another fact. And he goes on to say, that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which is exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority. Everybody say above all rule and above all authority. Power and dominion and every title that can be given. Not only in the present age, but in the age to come. In other words, all of this human age that we know of as time, that Christ has all authority, over every title, every human domain, every human kingdom, everything that exists in this present age, which Paul was referring to, in other words, before his kingdom comes and is established in the New Jerusalem, and he creates the new heaven and the new earth. Now he refers to that by, and in the one to come. He has all power and all dominion. And God placed all things, verse 22, under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Now, did you notice he didn't just say over the church? He said everything for the church, because it's for your benefit and my benefit. He is over all things. He is at all times working for our good, for our benefit, and he's in charge. He is over all things. His work, everybody say, God is the boss. We have a problem with that in this day and age. And I will tell you, man has had an authority problem. Man has an authority problem. I've seen it in the church. We use the term saints loosely. You know, I've seen it in the church. I've seen it in the political system. I've seen it in the, authority doesn't come natural. Submission to authority doesn't come natural to our flesh. It's a discipline that's healthy for us, but it doesn't come natural. Because we don't want anyone telling us what to do. How many of you served in the military? I promise you, when the drill sergeant came in during boot camp, he didn't come up to you, did he, Dexter, and say, "Hey, buddy, would you get out of bed and make your bed? Would you do that? Do you feel like you could do that soon? Because if you could, just kind of stretch those blankets out a little bit. It'll be all right. If you could, do you feel like it?" I don't think he came in and did that. There's this authority that says, "Get out of that bed now. We're going to go dig 5 or 6 holes. Then we're going to put the dirt back in it. Get out of that bed now." I mean, this authority thing. And all of a sudden, if you were ever served in the military, you got out of that bed now. You see, there's a certain level of people that could, there's a certain kind of person that can do that kind of military life, because they understand discipline. They understand, and if it's not in there, they're gonna understand it or they're going home. Because authority is not questioned in the ranks of the military. And God makes this clear to us. He is over all dominion. He is God. There's no question in God's mind. That I love when I talk with people. "Well, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. No religion's going to tell me what to do." Listen, it's not about a religion telling you what to do. It's about a God who says, "Thou shalt," or "Thou shalt not." And that's the point. There's this submission thing to authority. Can I tell you some of the worst attitudes I've ever seen, and no one here has really ever displayed this towards me. In fact, honestly, it's only been people who would ever. I had a guy come in one day during a Christmas play. He had brought his whole family. Some of y'all might remember that. My ushers certainly do, because you helped him out the door. And he sat around in here, and we had a children's play on, and he came to me with his entire family around him and proceeded to take me apart on the doctrine we allowed in the Christmas play, because they said, here's the truth, it's because they said there were 3 kings. Y'all know the Bible doesn't say how many people came to visit Jesus. There was more than 3, but we used the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we had to represent each one of those gifts by, well, that's what most churches, traditional churches, over the last 150 years have done anyway. They would put 1 king up there per gift. And most stages were too small to put 1,000. We don't know how many came from afar. But he was insisting that our doctrine was false. And he began to unloose me in front of his children. I said, whoa. Here's what you need to know. What you're doing in front of your children is sowing seed of not only discord, that's right. And I said that, but you're sowing seed of anti-authority. You have no authority to walk in here. And you have no authority. You have no spiritual authority here. I am the spiritual authority here. And my partners who stand next to me are my elders, and next to them are our pastoral staff. That's the spiritual authority here. I don't invoke authority. God gave me the authority. Seriously. And I've had other people through the years come in and challenge that kind of petty thing, and they do it in front of other people to make somehow it known that they can in your face authority. And if authority doesn't have, can I tell you, when you get pulled over by the state patrol, when the officer says, get out of the car, that's not the time to say, I have the right to stay in my warm car. I have the time. Y'all get that, right? When the state patrol walks up with the badge, and the fact that the badge is on his round smoky bear hat, and he walks up to that car, y'all know, listen, follow the trail here. Y'all know that that man has authority. But it's not just that man. That man wears the badge from the Missouri State Patrol. And that badge has the authority of the Missouri House and Senate and governor of the state of Missouri. And they get their authority from you, the people. So when that state patrolman comes up to you and says, sir, please get out of your car, it's the people of Missouri that just told you to get out of that car. The authority has been placed with accountable reasons. Now I'm going to tell you, when God speaks to us, when Christ came and all authority was given, He was given the power of all of authority of His Father in heaven to come and speak on His behalf. And that's who Christ is, the second person of the Trinity. He is God. He is no less God. There's the first person, second person, third person of the Trinity. Don't ask me how that works. Please don't come up to me and try and explain it. I really don't want to think that anyone in here is ever going to tell me they actually know how the Godhead works. I don't need to know. I just believe He is who He said He is. I can't get that. I've had people walk up through the years. Well, it's really simple, Pastor Barry. It's kind of like this. God is kind of like you, and the child is kind of like your children. Don't do that. Don't bring God down to that level. Don't bring God down to me. That's a bad example of what God is and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a real quick story. I was in Haiti not long ago. Some of you may know Convoy of Hope has offered Gene and I the opportunity to partner with them, hosting other churches in America in different countries. And this was about a year and a half ago. Hal Donaldson and I in Chesterfield were having lunch, and we were talking about it, and he said, I have 500 churches right now that I have nobody to take them on these trips around the world. And we talked about it, and I offered to take some trips for him, and he's taken me up on that. And so but the condition was, I am the pastor of St. Charles River Church. This is where I am. This is my passion, my priority, my responsibility. I'm not going anywhere. And he said, I love that. Thank you. Thank you. That's amazing. Can't tell you how many pastors want a job. You know, just coming for a job. And I said, no. I have a passion for missions. By the way, look at the 13th core value. What does it say? World missions. It should be no surprise to anyone in here that we have a passion for world missions. That's why we do missions trips. By the way, I have a meeting, literally a 5-minute meeting immediately after church on this side. I got a meeting with all Panama 2018 team members right here at this site immediately after church. Also, Venture Cove, right? Adventure Cove has an open house in the children's ministry. Get back there before you leave today. It's fabulous. But on my first training meeting to Haiti, just not long ago, I was actually in Haiti. And, you know, I'm talking about authority here. I'm talking about submitting to authority. There's a guy named Matt. Matt's my boss with Convoy of Hope. And so I met Matt down in Haiti at Port-au-Prince, and I'm standing there, and I found out quickly over a short period of time that there was this individual. There was a lady that had been with another organization for many years. She also partnered with Convoy. She didn't know who I was. I didn't know who she was, but it was made known to me that I was under her authority, which I have no issue, by the way. I want to know what other people are doing. I'm not that smart, though I've done probably nearly 30 trips over since 1994, but I want to know. I want to be taught. And I will tell you, I went in with that attitude that I need to learn. I need to learn these things. And over the first few Well, the first day, it was like this. This is how I had to just absorb this. I had another guy on the trip being trained also under her authority. And this is the kind of conversation we had. Now look, here's the truth. We got to make sure everybody remains flexible. Now, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but flexibility is a very important thing. Now, how many of you have ever been on my trips? What are the three words I teach?
Flexibility, flexibility, flexibility.
So I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, I agree with that. And now I'm going to be upfront with you. I'm going to be real transparent with you. I'm also struggling with, Lord, this isn't even 101. And this is what the Lord said to me. Hush and sit there. Because she's over me. I'm under her authority. And then we went to, now make sure, you know, nobody goes away alone. Nobody walks away from a work project alone. Some of you are already laughing, right? You can't work away. And you have to have no women ever walk away alone. Women, we prefer you have one man with you when you walk. And I'm sitting there. Anybody been on my trips? And by the way, try to make sure someone who speaks their language, the Haitian Creole, make sure that they're with them if they do go out just a little bit. And we leave the work site but no later than 5 o'clock. And so, how many of you ever been with me? So if you've ever read I'm about to hand out material at the end of this service, 4 pages, that's basic instruction, that's all of this. Where did I get that from? In 2006, I went with Convoy of Hope to Portugal. I stole their stuff. With hell's permission. I stole their stuff. The model we use is Convoy of Hope. But I'm sitting there going, I agree. No, that's good. That's good. Praise God. That's good. Safety's good. You know, flexibility's good. And about the third day, she finally says to me, have you done this before? I said, yeah. What do you do? I said, I pastor St. Charles River Church. And oh my goodness, why didn't anybody tell me you were a pastor? You know I don't, right? She said, why didn't anybody tell me you were a pastor? Have you done missions trips? I said, yeah. How long have you been doing missions trips? I said, since 1994. How many have you done? I said, probably closing in, if not already to 30. Oh my goodness. Why didn't you tell me that? You know all this. And I said, and then I told her our story. She said, why didn't you tell me? I said, because you're the boss. You don't need to know what I know. I need to know what you know. And I wasn't going to do that in front of Andre for anything, because Andre had never taken a trip. And they were training Andre for his very first trip. And so I want you to know something. I'm not joking when I tell you. It was hard. There were times it was very difficult. Now make sure you count how many lunches you have to buy. I got that. How many people are there? 28. Then I'll have to buy 28 lunches. Make sure. And I mean, this was just basic stuff. Now she didn't know what I knew, but it didn't matter what I knew. I needed to know what nuggets she could bring to me in the authority role that she was in. Y'all get that? You see, here's the thing. She also had the authority. If something happened out of a safety issue that she had to get us out of here, Convoy of Hope has this thing, this contract with an organization around the world. It's called the Red Button. Every morning, the director of the trip, which will be me in the future, the director walks out and turns it to a certain place, and there's a command center in Convoy of Hope, Springfield, Missouri, that is 24-hour manned. It's watched 24 hours a day. And that, for emergency purposes. And you hit the button, and you slide it over, and you do 2 or 3 things to say, check in for the day. If you don't check in for the day, they will come and evacuate you from Haiti. Wherever you are. It's got a GPS on that. And they also know my phone, because they'll be able to track my phone by GPS on the phone. The other thing is, if there's an emergency, this happened 2 years ago, if there's an emergency, Vicky has the authority to turn that button to evacuate immediately and open the little plastic door and hit the red button in 30 minutes. Choppers will land right where the team is at because of the GPS. Choppers will land wherever the team is at and evacuate them within 30 minutes. It's a contract with military around the world. And you will leave that country immediately. Because, and it did happen 2 years ago in Haiti with a team, a Convoy of Hope team. That's the kind of authority, but can I tell you something? With authority comes responsibility. And so, I'm not the one in authority on this trip. I'm not the one in with that responsibility. I know what that responsibility feels like. I've lived it many times. But there was something humbling, genuinely good for me, humbling, when I'm sitting under the tutelage of someone who doesn't know what I know and didn't care what I knew at the time. She just cared to make sure I was always knowledgeable of what it's going to take to hold safety for these trips when they come. Having said all that, can I tell you something? What's the word say? He is the head for the church. He works all things for the church. It's always about your safety. He's always ruling and reigning on your behalf because he's going to take us out of here. He's going to evac us out of here one day, whether it is by death or the rapture of the church. There's going to be an emergency evac when the church leaves this place, whether by death or the rapture, and we will see him face to face because he is in charge. When people say, I don't like that. I don't like a lot of things. Can I just tell you? I don't like Job's story. I don't like Job's story. It's the most unfair looking story there is. I don't like it. But I learned from it. And Job submitted to God's authority. And he never, remember what Satan dared him to do? Curse God. Curse God. Curse God. And he never gave in. Because he knew who was in charge. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, today I'm asking you that you will teach us to submit to who you are. Not just call you Savior. Not just call you the Prince of Peace. But truly, in all the names of God, you are Yahweh. You are truly Yahweh. I am. You are truly Jehovah God. You are the one we submit to today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone stand with me, if you would. Heavenly Father, as we leave this place, we say yes, Lord, to your will and your good pleasure. Because truly, God, you are the only voice that matters. When we come before you as a church family, you're the only voice that matters. When we rise up in the morning, you're the only only voice that matters. Deuteronomy 6 talks about when we rise up and get out of bed, when we walk along the street, when we eat at our dinner table, when we sit around and we're together with family, or when we lay back down in that bed, no matter what, you're the only voice that matters, because thus saith the Lord is the voice of authority. And Christ, we submit to you, to your will and to your good pleasure in the name of Jesus Christ. And every believer said, amen. God bless you guys. Give the Lord a great hand, guys. Have a beautiful, blessed day.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.